There's a lot of Mexican people here, and I feel that, like, with Mexicans, it's very much about, like, macho and, like, being, like, a man, like, being masculine. And it was hard because you get looked down upon, you know what I mean? Like, oh, there goes that faggot or that gay, whatever. So.
This is Arrivals, stories of migration, transformation, and change. The program that explores what we do when what we've done is a thing of the past. Today we return to the West Texas border town of El Paso with a story we're calling Jerry Curl.
My name is Gerardo Caro. I'm born and raised here in El Paso. Mainly, I grew up in the Lower Valley. The hood of El Paso, you know, it's an awesome place. I mean, I love the valley of El Paso. We moved here, and, like, I think it was in sixth grade. And, like, when we moved here, like, everybody would tell my mom, you know, this is, like, the worst place to live in because this is Sherman Apartments. Like, right next to Sherman Apartments, there was these other apartments called Diablos. It was, like, an ongoing, like, gang-related, like, conflict. So, yeah, so when we moved here, like, my mom was, like, really worried that we would, like, get into, I don't know, gangs or, like, have bad influences and stuff, so she wouldn't let us out. I didn't see much of that because, like, by the time that we got here, I guess everything had, like, sort of mellowed out. I mean, it's still the projects and stuff, you know. There's still all these, like, kids getting into drugs, bad influences everywhere, I guess. My dad, I remember, like, he wasn't around that much, like, when I was younger. And then when I was, I think, in fourth grade, he was, he got caught with, like, all these drugs and stuff, and he spent, like, almost 10 years in prison. So I didn't really, like, get to grow up with him and stuff, so it was just mainly my grandma, my mom. Like, we grew up, like, pretty much inside. So I would come home, and I wasn't really allowed out. So we would just, like, stay in, do our homework, watch TV. It was, it wasn't, like, we weren't allowed to go out. I didn't start going out until, like, I was older. Like, here outside, because I was like, you know, like, fuck this, like, oh, wait, can I cuss? Or?
Oh, of course, yeah, okay. It's a podcast.
Cool. So I was like, you know, like, fuck this. Like, I'm going to go out and I'm going to, like, explore, like, my hood or whatever. By the time that I was 17, that's when I started going out here in El Paso. But before that, I was going out, like, in Juarez and partying and stuff, so. Since I was young, like, I knew, like, I was different and stuff. Like, I would look at boys or, you know, like, I didn't feel attracted to girls. Like, I love girls and stuff. but I just always knew, like, maybe it was because I grew up with my cousin and we would always play Barbies or just do, like, you know, like, girly stuff. But I always liked it. So people would say, like, come on, dude, just admit it, like, you're gay. But I would not admit it. Like, I'm telling you, like, I was very, like, in the closet, like, deep in the closet, locked in there. I wasn't coming out. At the time, actually, my dad had just gotten out of prison, like, after I graduated high school. Like, I felt super weird, you know. I hadn't seen my dad. I hadn't seen him throughout, like, the whole time that he was in prison, because he was in prison in South Carolina. And I was here in Texas, and we never, like, I don't know, had the means to go visit him. We actually didn't know. Like, we were calling my grandpa, because he's the one that knew. And he was like, yeah, he got out. He'll be here, like, in a day or two or something. So when he got here, he called us, and we went over to his place. And when we got there, like, it was me, my younger sister, and my little brother, Felix. And I remember, like, him opening up the door, and he was just like, boo. And, like, both my little brother and my sister, like, started bawling and stuff. But I didn't, like, it was a weird feeling to me. Like, it was just strange and awkward, to be honest. When I first started, like, accepting, you know, that I was gay, I started dating around and stuff, and I remember, like, having my first boyfriend, and I would spend the night over at his place sometimes, so I wouldn't come home or whatever. And I guess, like, my mom had suspicions. Well, like, the whole family had suspicions and stuff. But I remember, like, one time I came home, and it was in this room right here, and my grandma was like, "Hey, sit down, we need to talk." And she asked me, or she told me, she's like, "We all think that you have a boyfriend." And I wasn't gonna admit it, but, like, I was like, if it's now or it's never. So I was like, yeah, like, I have a boyfriend and stuff, grandma. And, like, it's pretty cool. Like, I had a pretty, like supportive family, you know what I mean? It wasn't like I was, like, my mom right away, she, like, told me that she loved me, and it was nice, you know, like, to know that I had that support, because not everybody is so lucky, so. Like, I didn't really, like, tell my dad or anything until, I don't think I, like, officially told them, like, I am gay. But I remember, like, when you, because this is, like, the projects and stuff, so, like, when you turn 18, like, the rent goes up here, and if you're not working, or if you are working, like, the rent goes up, so it was, like, going up too much, so I decided to leave my mom's. And by the time, like, my grandpa had passed away and my dad was living in my grandpa's house, so I moved over there with him. I guess I had a lot of anger towards him, you know what I mean? Like, leaving and stuff, or not being there and stuff, so it was really weird. He, like, laid down the rules with me, and he's like, "You can have friends over, but there is no wrestling in my house." And I was like, wrestling, is that code for, like, I can't have guys over or whatever? So I was like, okay, like, whatever. Like, I didn't care. Like, I was, like, very unapologetic by that time. Like, we would fight. Sometimes we would, like, definitely get into it because, like, I was being a mess, or, like, just partying a lot. And so it was, like, the rebellious, even though I was already 18, it was, like, the rebellion teen years that he never experienced with me, so I gave them to him. I was waiting for that. I remember, like, I was smoking a lot, and he was like, "No, you just need to get a girlfriend and, like, stop smoking." And
smoking weed, or?
Yeah. And, like, he knew and stuff, but he was really supportive, like, of me, like, as far as, like, when I started going to school, like, he's like, "Well, I'm going to get you a car." And he got me a car and stuff. And he was trying to do the right thing. But I was still giving him a hard time, too. He always knew, I guess, that I was gay. But I remember this one time. We were at his place, and we were sitting down on the table. And he said, you know, like, I don't know, he said something, and I was like, "Dad, I didn't choose to be gay, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like I chose to be gay." And, like, when I said that, like, I feel that he kind of, like, understood. It was like an understanding, and he was like, "Okay." The first time that I, like, dressed up in drag, it was, I think it was Halloween of 2008, and it was with my boyfriend, and he was like, "Come on, let's do drag." And we did drag, and I remember it was for my little cousin's birthday party, which is, like, totally inappropriate, I guess, now that I think about it, because it was a little kid's party, but it was a Halloween party, so I was like, "Well, I'm gonna go dressed up however I want." And I remember my mom was like, "No, please don't, like, it's your little cousin's birthday party." And I was like, "I don't care, I'm gonna go." So I did, like, I went there in drag and stuff. But by the time that I had gotten there, like, my mom had already left, because she didn't want to see me in drag. She was like, "No, don't." I dressed up, we bought these horrible pink wigs, And I just like dressed up in my mom's clothes. I was like, Mom, I know you're not supportive of this, but I'm borrowing some of your clothes. And I remember, like, I told my grandma about it, and she was all for it. She was like, yeah, like, I'm gonna get you some fake butt pads. So, so my grandma was, like, my first drag mother. Like, she gave me my first pads and stuff. She doesn't know, but, or maybe she does, but she was all for it. She's really supportive. I was a really big mess, actually. Like, during those years, like I was partying a lot. I was in school, and then I dropped out of school for like 4 years. So I was just straight working and pretty much like partying, and just like I got pulled over one time, well, twice. And I got, it was like a hard time because I got a DUI, so it was like super expensive. And yeah, I was just pretty much trying to get my life together, or trying to, you know, because I think that when, like, the gay world, like, or in the gay nightlife, like, everyone is just like getting like super fucked up. Like, that's the thing. The pressure that you get, like, if you're gay, you know, like, oh, you're fucked, dude, so might as well just like party it up. I think that a lot of gay people, like, that's their mentality. Maybe not now as much, but yeah, like, I feel that. Because that stigma that comes with like being gay, like, you're just like, well, I'm screwed, you know, I might as well just like party up. Or at least that was my mentality. Here in El Paso, there is no, like, it's just pretty much going out to clubs, you know what I mean? There's nothing like for you to like a youth center here or something like that, you know what I mean? Like, it's more, it will, I think there is a youth center now, but like, there's no like real support for gay people here in El Paso, to be honest. Like, as far as just the gay clubs, and then that's all there is. Like, what else is there? There's nothing else. So
this goes out to El Paso, Texas, man. El Chuco, 915.
I remember like one time, it was, and it like made like the news, and here, it was here in El Paso, like all dramatic and stuff. But there was this restaurant, it's called Chico's Tacos, and it was like late, it was a late night or whatever, and there were these two, or like these gay guys like in there, and they were like making out and stuff, or they were like kissing. And like one of the security guards was like, oh, you guys, we can't be doing that faggoty shit here. So I remember like it was made into this whole like big story, and like people were like protesting like in support. And I don't know, it was just something that always kind of like attracted like me. Like, even when I was younger, like, I'd wear like my sister's clothes, or like, I, like, it would bother my mom actually. Cause, like, I remember one time I would always like want to wear my sister's skirt. And my mom would get pissed, and she's like, I'm gonna take a picture of you so that I can show it to people and embarrass you. And I was like, okay, well, whatever. So she did. She caught me once with a skirt, and I guess it was, like, her way of trying to, like, not want me to, like, do, like, girly stuff or whatever. See, like, even with my mom, like, when I was younger, like, it was, like, it was a mentality of it was wrong to do that. So I guess, like, in me, like, I always was attracted to that, even when I was younger. And Halloween, like, that's when I would dress up more, like, in drag. So it's, like, every gay guy's story is, like, I first did drag in Halloween. So I was like, no exception there.
It's like our world, you know.
Bulls to us is as close to reality as we're gonna get to all of that fame and fortune and stardom and spotlights.
There's this movie in the gay scene, it's called Paris is Burning. So like me and my friends would like always be watching that shit. And like we heard that there was gonna be a ball here in El Paso and stuff, which is in reference to Paris is Burning.
Touch this skin, darling. Touch this skin, honey. Touch all of this skin. Okay. You just can't take it. You're just an overgrown orangutan.
A ball is sort of like a subculture of like gay people, I would say. And it's mainly just like people going there and letting their hair loose, letting their diva out or whatever you want to call it. It's basically like different competitions within the gay subculture of, like, for example, Butch Queen, which is both feminine and masculine at the same time, which that's the competition that I entered. But there was other competitions, or other categories, I should say, not competitions. There was a category of, like, Miss Pan Dulce, which is sweet bread in English. And it was, like, the pretty face, like, nice body, like, someone who looks like a real girl, I guess. There was also, like, masculine discreet, like, gay guys who are gay, but, like, you couldn't tell. You couldn't clock it, you know what I mean? And, yeah, so I guess that's what a ball is. Me and my friends were going to do it, but then at the time, like, a week before or something, like, I hurt my back, my lower back, like, dancing and stuff. Dance injuries. And I wasn't going to do it because I was like, no, dude, like, I'm not going to be able to move. Like, I'm not going to be able to dance like I want to, so I'm not going to do it. And, like, that same day, it was, like, all dramatic. Like, no, I'm not going to do it. Okay, I'm going to do it after all. And I started getting ready. I started, like, doing my makeup. And I went over to my friends to, like, finish there. And I had nothing planned. Like, it was just totally unplanned. Like, my friend loaned me her leather skirt, her top, this wig. And, like, I had a beanie. And I just put, like, the beanie over it. And I had my jeans under the leather skirt. So it, like, worked out perfect. I won for Butch Queen. It was pretty fun. Yeah. After that, like, I was like, dude, I'm gonna do this. Like, in the next month. Like, I remember the very first drag show, like, I was so nervous, and, like, I did, this song, In This Moment, Sick Like Me, and, when I was on stage, it was, like, I don't know, it was, like, really cool, like, I completely, like, got lost in it, like, I blacked out, honestly, because, like, I remember the beginning and stuff, and then I don't remember a lot of it, because, like, I was just in the moment. Like, I was crying, like, during the performance. Like, it's a super dramatic song and stuff, so, like, I really just felt it, and I had, like, a breakthrough moment. So many emotions, like, it was really overwhelming, like, letting it out. It was like a stress reliever for me, you know what I mean? It was just, like, I was completely expressing myself. Like, letting it all hang out. Even though I was, you know, tucked.
Special thanks to Jerry for sharing his story. Arrivals is hosting a very special live show at the Tenderloin Museum in San Francisco on August 25th, which we're hoping you will consider attending. More on that, on Jerry Curl, and all of our shows can be found at our website, arrvls.com. Arrivals is a proud and founding member of The Herd, an audio collective now featuring 8 incredible storytellers from across North America who have banded together to share resources and help promote one another's work. Find out more at theherdradio.com. That's the H-E-A-R-D radio.com. I'm Jonathan Hirsch. Thank you for listening. And until we meet again, may you wind up where you need to be.